You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, March 3rd, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. On the app, by podcast, on social media, thank you for starting your week right here. I've got a question for you. A couple, actually. First one is, when was the last time you forgot to set an alarm? Because I thought, you know, at my advanced age, I mean, I know memory will be an issue eventually, but I couldn't possibly tell you the last time that I forgot to set an alarm. I just do. It's just the thing that you do. Apparently until last night. So it's a good thing that Sherry had an alarm set as well, because otherwise I might still be snoring and drooling at this point, which is a little bit odd, but you know, it was a long, fun weekend. Stayed up a little too late watching the Oscars, and thankfully I'm here, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, maybe a couple of minutes less so, but still here nevertheless. Here's my other question for you. Did you know there was a movie named Anora? Because, again, watching the Oscars, I saw it win one award and then another and another. And I was like, literally have never heard of that movie till just now. You hear about all the contenders, you know, whether you've seen them or not, whether you've heard of them or not. But apparently I didn't hear enough about this as an Oscar contender. But apparently a lot of other people didn't either. It was a big surprise, winning Best Picture and getting a lot of attention. Still a pretty good show overall. You know, Conan O'Brien is definitely not for everybody, but, you know, it worked for me. It was perfectly fine until I was too tired and went to bed, forgetting to set an alarm along the way. Our forecast says that no matter how much you wish that spring were literally around the corner, what's around the corner is a big, nasty storm, a strong system that's going to bring widespread rain, gusty winds, the potential for accumulating snow tomorrow into Wednesday. Too early to speculate on amounts, given that there's going to be a lot of rain on the front end of it, but Wednesday morning's commute could be very snowy and windy for a lot of folks. And so be tuned to your radio. Keep your weather apps handy and everything else to know what's going on starting later tomorrow and then into Wednesday. At the bus stop this morning, temperatures look like this. It's 29 here on Lake Wissota, 26 in Hayward, 28 in Amory. Wausau's at 30, Wisconsin Rapids 30 as well. La Crosse and Green Bay and Madison all reporting 31 degrees right now, 32 in Milwaukee. It's 33 at Radio Park in Racine, where we'll check in with Greg Bach in just a moment. Coming up on the program this morning, we should be hearing from Dr. Kristen Lyerly, as we often do on Monday mornings. Then we will, in our second hour, talk to author Laura Bird. We haven't checked in with her for a little while, and the last couple of visits, she has made book recommendations to us. This time around, we're going to talk about book clubs. We need a diversion. Lord knows we need a diversion, given recent events. And books and book clubs do that for a lot of folks and might be your next new favorite activity, especially after Laura talks to us about how to find the right book club or how to start a book club and how to tailor it so that it works best for you. So stick around for that coming up at 7:30 this morning. But right now at 10 past 6 on this 3:25, we bring in one Greg Bach from Radio Park in Racine, who I asked him today's question. He was familiar with a movie called Anora, so he's one up on me. So 1 point for Bach. Mr. Bach, watch the Oscars at all. Good morning, Gregory, sir.
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing well, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for asking, everyone. I'm very tired. I did watch the Oscars last night up until 9:32 p.m.
Ooh.
Because if you were watching it on Hulu, Hulu shut it off. So I missed Best Actor. I missed Best Actress, and I missed Best Picture.
Hold on. So Hulu was carrying it live. Same as ABC.
But there's a difference. ABC was carrying it live. If you're watching on Channel 12 or whatever your ABC affiliate is, you're watching it live. Hulu had it as a slotted piece of programming that went from 6 p.m. until 9:32, and at 9:32, it just stopped.
Yes, and that's how it is. It appears in the TV guides. Was that, it's a 6 to 9:30 thing, and then they give it a couple of minutes in case the last speech runs long.
Yep.
When was the last time the Oscars went only 2 minutes over?
Well,
correct answer, not any time that I can remember.
I was really bummed that Lithgow was never employed at all last night, even though
he should have gotten a look.
I'm not going to lie, that as a producer, as a person who makes his job, makes his money, making sure programming goes off without a hitch and timing is huge. When he said, cut the music, I've done this before. I'm like, oh, buddy.
Don't dare me. That orchestra is about to get really loud. No, it's...
And you can make an argument that his speech was very heartfelt. I don't disagree with that. I thought it was very, very beautiful what he wanted to say. But he could have written it down because there was a lot of ums, ahs, and like he did not prepare that speech. And,
correct.
From a logistics standpoint, I'm like, dude, you just like if you would have went like if you said I'd be brief and that would brief was like 15 seconds, but he talked for like another minute and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, just riffing at that point.
Yeah.
There were only a couple of folks that came up there with a speech that was not made up and not written down, but actually memorized. You could tell they knew what they wanted to say, which always surprises me that doesn't happen more often because, you know, they're actors. It's their job to write something down or get something and memorize it and essentially perform it, you know, and you can't do that for when you're nominated for the biggest award of your life. That's my personal thing, I guess. So.
No one. I didn't see the young lady from Honora's speech. I can't remember her name. And I did not see the speech for Honora, which that guy just kept on winning and winning and winning, which was amazing to watch.
Yeah.
But Zoe Saldana's speech was amazing. It was on time. It was heartfelt. It was emotional. Yes. It was the best speech of the night, period.
Yes, it was. And it featured that one part that is always awkward for everybody, the moments of ugly crying.
Yes.
You know, when the moment really hits her. I remember Halle Berry kind of had the same thing.
Yep.
And you just, on the one hand, it's a genuine moment, but you also feel bad because you're going to look back at it and go, ooh, you know, a little bit of cringy, but it's because the feeling was so deep that she had. For somebody who's been in, like, all of the biggest money-making movies ever, and now to be recognized with an Oscar was a pretty cool deal for her. So, yeah, good for her. And like I said, Conan, not for everybody.
He's all for good me, baby. It. I loved every minute of it.
Apart from his gratuitous opening number about not wasting time,
because
it's like, okay, I see what you're doing there, Conan. But I did love the beginning with the stars from Wicked. I guess I just liked a lot of it. Not that it's going to win any awards necessarily, but you know, for a little Sunday night diversion, it totally worked fine by me.
So. I know people who won Emmys for their work on the Academy Awards. So if who knows who, I like the fact that the winning was spread out. I don't believe anybody was, not shunned, but,
snubbed.
I think every movie that was like majorly, they all won awards. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, oh, Wicked didn't win anything. Oh my God. Like everybody got some awards.
Yes, including Kieran Culkin, who maybe gave us the most awkward speech in saying, well, you promised me a third kid if I won an award and a fourth if I got an Oscar, to which you could just feel like all the wives out there going, no, don't you ever do that to me ever, you know, but also don't promise your husband you'll have more kids if you win an Oscar, because you know he might actually call you out on national TV about that.
He's the kind of person who will do that 100% for the joke. Even if it's just a joke, he will do it for the joke.
Yes, no doubt there. Quarter past six right now on Up North News Radio. We had our Sunday morning edition of our politics newsletter. You can sign up for our newsletters over at upnorthnewswi.com. Get our weekday newsletter and our new Sunday morning politics one as well. And once again, I am floored by the number of responses to our question of the week. This time around, the question dealt with President Trump and co-president Musk doing their assault on the federal government and on spending. And have they maybe gone too far? Or is it, you know, just cut, baby, cut, keep going, full steam ahead? Or we threw in there the oddball response of maybe you pause it and create a bipartisan citizens commission to try to identify wasteful spending. And so a lot of great heartfelt answers on that. So I wanted to make sure to thank everybody for their responses. You can sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. In today's edition, Christina Laurie kicks off Women's History Month and talks about the continuing existence of a gender pay gap. And from an article you can find on our website, the surprising connection between IVF success or failure and air pollution. There was a rather exhaustive study that took a look at it in conditions you otherwise wouldn't be able to use were it not for the existence of IVF. So head over to upnorthnewswi.com, read that article, and subscribe to our newsletter while you're there as well. Christian Yelich made his first spring training start on Saturday, making three at-bats as a designated hitter, continuing his comeback from back surgery last August. He had two strikeouts and an RBI ground out, but said he felt good, so that's a nice development. When you consider, Mr. Bach, that the regular season home opener is 4 weeks from today. That feels so good.
Oh!
It also means that March Madness isn't far off, and the basketball playoffs in the NBA. Giannis had 29 points, Damian Lillard 28, as the Bucks beat the Dallas Mavericks on Saturday. The two teams will meet again on Wednesday in Milwaukee, but first the Bucks have a game Tuesday in Atlanta. The 11th-ranked Badger men's basketball team fell at 8th-ranked Michigan State yesterday, 71-62. There are now two games left before the Big Ten tournament. The Badgers will play Wednesday night at Minnesota. You'll be able to hear that game on several Civic Media stations and on the Civic Media app starting at 7 o'clock Tuesday, or Wednesday rather. And then Saturday, they'll host Penn State before that ends the regular season and then the conference tournament begins. The 21st-ranked Marquette men beat Georgetown on Saturday. Their last two games are at UConn Wednesday and hosting St. John's on Saturday to get set for the Big East conference tournament. And the Badger women's hockey team beat up on Bemidji State over the weekend, continuing their conference tournament this Friday in Duluth. More after this on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're about to hear Cab Calloway with his band from a 1943 movie. The movie's from 1943, and we'll tell you why Cab Calloway is in today's history lesson coming up in about a half hour, but I wanted to especially bring up this tune, Jumpin' Jive, from that movie, Stormy Weather, from 1943. If you've never seen this come across your social media feed, it is probably the best dance number in all of Hollywood. You can just give the Oscar to that one right now for best dance routine ever by a couple of guys called the Nicholas Brothers. And their dance routine all throughout the restaurant where the band is playing is just a sight to behold. So just a little something to pass along here. I was just telling you before the break about the Badger women hockey team continuing their conference tournament later this week in Duluth. When I said they beat up on Bemidji State, let me go a step further. The scores were 3-0 and 11-0, including 8 goals in the first period. So the Badger women continue to prove why they are the number one team in the country. The Badger men's hockey team is in the Big Ten tournament. The quarterfinals will be at Ohio State on Friday and Saturday evenings, and then again Sunday if needed for a best of three series. We wish all the best to both the Badger men's and women's hockey teams moving forward. One of those coincidences you didn't really expect to have happen has happened to our plans for a live event about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. We are holding a live event on Wednesday, March 12th at the Overture Center in Madison, all about the Supreme Court race, three different panel discussions with all kinds of great guests talking about what the court could do about education, about reproductive health rights, about the economy and jobs. You want to learn more? Head over to upnorthnewswi.com/supreme to learn more. Here's where the coincidence comes into play. It was late Friday when I first got the note of, hey, your live event is on Wednesday the 12th, right? I said, yeah. And they said, oh, you know, they just scheduled a Supreme Court debate for that evening. So I said, what? But fortunately for us, in a sense of good planning, again, unintentional, our event runs from 5:30 until 7, and then the debate starts at 7. So our panel discussion has now become a panel discussion slash watch party, where people will be able to come and hopefully monitor the debate after hearing all about what's at stake. So again, head over to upnorthnewswi.com/supreme to learn more about that. Well, let's take a moment and talk about what New York Times columnist Bret Stephens called a day of American infamy. And that, of course, would be embarrassment, the disgrace that happened in the Oval Office when the president, and a surprise appearance by somebody who may not have known he was still the vice president, J.D. Vance, both showing up in order to ambush and gang up on Volodymyr Zelensky from Ukraine and berate him and badger him in front of cameras, all quite intentional, of course, to, you know, do what only Putin puppets could do. I mean, this was expressly doing the bidding of Vladimir Putin, was to make it look like Ukraine no longer had a full ally in the United States. And I mentioned Bret Stephens' column for this reason. It was the one thing I passed along on social media about it, because I never thought I'd have anything good to say about Bret Stephens. He's the New York Times conservative columnist. I, much like I would have said about Liz Cheney back in the day, disagree with about 95% of what comes out of their mouths. And yet we have found these places where there is basic agreement, you know, on things like global security, democracy, standing up to dictators and things like that. And Bret Stephens begins his column by reminding us about a meeting in August of 1941 between Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill, where they drew up the Atlantic Charter, a joint declaration about the world's leading democratic powers and the common principles they share for a post-war world, talking all about no aggrandizement, territorial or other, sovereign rights and self-government restored to those who have been forcibly deprived of them, access on equal terms to the trade and raw materials of the world that are needed for economic prosperity. And then Bret Stephens goes on to say, just imagine what would happen if the powers of Europe had come to Franklin Roosevelt and Roosevelt said, well, actually, I'm thinking you should just be nicer to Hitler. And by the way, sign this deal that lets me have a lot of your mineral rights. And can you do that, please? And if you don't, I will badger you and hector you in front of the newsreel cameras. That's where we're at in this country right now. And for those folks who would say, well, this was a comeuppance for Ukraine and they were, you know, assuming too much from us. Again, put yourself in their shoes. They had every reason to assume that when we say we stand for peace and security in Europe, that we mean it. That with very limited exception of a couple of extreme goofballs in Congress, there were no voices in United States leadership indicating any hesitancy whatsoever that you have to stop what Russia's doing in Ukraine, because otherwise it's going to look at Poland, it's going to look at the Baltic states, and next thing you know, we're going to have a full-fledged war in Europe again. And the only way to stop that is to stop Russia in Ukraine and not allow them to be rewarded for their aggression, for their war, for their attempts at Ukrainian genocide. All until Donald Trump came along, who has always had nothing but wonderful, glowing things to say about Vladimir Putin. And so now we face an instance here where, again, there's no right way to describe the embarrassment. And there are a handful of low points in American history. Plessy versus Ferguson comes to mind. The Dred Scott decision comes to mind. But this may be one of the lowest. And it's one that the United States is going to have to work very hard to overcome if we're going to have global security and a secure standing.
They had three in the family. That's a magic number.
Today is 3/3/25, so we thought we'd bring along. Three is a magic number. Plus, it's got that phrase, you know, a man and a woman had a little baby. And Kristen Lyerly delivered that little baby, and she joins us now. Chief Morale Officer of Up North News Radio. How you doing?
I'm good. I love a little Schoolhouse Rock in the morning.
Oh, absolutely. So you are back. I can't keep your work straight. It's but you were up north for quite a while. But you're there. You're back home. It's not a green screen. Your boys remembered you.
Mm-hmm. Who's that? I got stranger? Home last night. I got a long conversation about the different ways that they wrestled and beat each other up. I learned a lot of new words.
Oh, dear. Oh,
I can't say them on the air. At least I probably shouldn't.
Nope. We were visiting Sherry's parents over the weekend, and at one point Sherry was telling a story, and she let a word drop that I don't normally hear her say around her parents. And I was just like, then again, we are approaching, you know, our sixth decade of life. I guess if you can't say bad words in front of your parents at some point, then you never can.
Yeah, I learn something new every day from them because they have a whole other vocabulary.
Yes.
You know, like they're the Gen Z people, and they remind me that their gen is a Z and my gen is an X. And there is a place for us to be able to communicate with each other. And they're always so funny when they're teaching me new words.
Oh, gosh. The new words thing is one of my favorite things on social media now, on like TikTok or Instagram Reels, is when people have their parents, they have their parents say something in the current lingo while they take a drink of water, the kids, and they try to hold it in and can't. They start laughing. Much the same way if Greg Bach were to take a drink of water as I were to start talking about some of the names of, no, you can't do a spit take on the board. If I say 50 Cent, you can't do that.
Well, also, Pat, you're not that much older than me. Like, it's not like my father, like, she's certainly got a lot of riz, then water everywhere. But
you never use the word certainly in the same sentence as riz. I did learn that.
You did? Okay. I'm still not anywhere near knowing what some of those things are. And I now take it as like a mission. Like, I used to want to learn everything. Like, I want to know what that means. I want to know what this is. And you get to a certain point where you're going, no, I'm not going to use that. Those words are going to be, you know, laughed at by their own kids before too much longer. You know
what it's like? It's like the old Valley Girl thing back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Gave me with a spoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grody, you know?
Grody to the max.
Right.
There's words that we think the kids use, and I was talking to my niece and nephew who are 23 and 19, respectively, and they were like, yeah, that's not even words we use. That's like Gen Z. Yeah. That's like, they're Gen Z. Like, that's middle schoolers who are using those words. I'm like, oh, how does that feel to be old before?
Oh, I like how you turned that on them.
Yeah.
Yes. It was going to be about you, but then you made it about them.
Oh, you're the old one. Well, okay, I'm just going to go sit back with my Nescafe and just enjoy night out.
Read the paper.
Well, that's why, again, as somebody who actually does like to study words and figure out how they're used and everything, it's the ones that have stickiness, that have staying power. Let's say, you know, if I still, and now it's in jest, of course, but if I say, when Greg will send me a note and I'll send back groovy, and he'll be like, okay. Yeah. But, you know, cool yeah. wasn't always a thing, you know, and yet we still use that word. You know, so some words can stand the test of time. Yeah. Others, you know, not so much. But did you watch any of the Oscars last night?
I didn't. I was on a plane. I caught a couple little clips, though. And I have to say, I'm really excited about Anora. I don't know if there's been any controversy. I don't know if you guys have talked about it at all. But I really loved that film. I know it was very adult.
Yes.
And it had a lot of themes that maybe some people wouldn't be comfortable with. But I thought it was incredibly well done.
Pat can't talk about it because up until last night, he had never heard of the film. So
nothing. But nothing about it as a contender or anything. Just what is this?
I think it was his first speech. Sean, I'm trying to look up his last name because, you know, he won four Academy Awards last night. Him alone. He, in his first speech, I believe, thanked sex workers and the work they did and how, like, they allowed him to be part of the process and into their world. And then he told us beautiful speech on his third Academy Award about the importance of seeing movies in the theaters. And I always feel like since the pandemic, Hollywood has been kind of like low-key bullying us back in the movie theaters, even though we don't really want to, because, and it's their fault, because they're the ones who say, oh, on streaming today, like a week after it comes out in the theater, so why would I bother going to the theater if it's going to be I can watch it on my couch.
Mm-hmm. I did like the Conan skit about that, about how we've now built something called a building for movies.
Cinema Stream.
We've put 800 cell phones. We've glued them together so that you can see it on one big cell phone screen.
How do I hold it, though?
You don't. The you building. Just sit and enjoy it. The building holds it.
But where most towns, like where we live, Anora was not on the big screen
in Green Bay.
Yeah.
You think of like,
and his fourth speech was about the importance of independent media.
Yes. Conclave was one that Sherry and I had actually wanted to see. We saw some of the ads for it, and it came to Chippewa Falls for one or two weekends, and that was it. And so we finally saw it streaming, like, you know, 2 months later or something like that, which I had a sense was going to win more awards, even though I didn't think it was, you know, I wouldn't have called it a great movie. But there was a lot of, you know, buzz, not Riz, right? Buzz? Is that
it'd be Buzz, Pat.
Buzz. A lot of buzz there, about
that. The actors can have Riz. The movies have buzz.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Greg's an expert.
I know.
Conclave did have that, like, I will win an Oscar feel.
Yeah.
So did The Brutalist. Both of them felt like Oscar movies.
What do we think of Adrian Brody winning two Best Actor Oscars for basically portraying the same role? Holocaust survivor.
He kind of mentioned it, honestly, in his speech. He mentioned the fact that, like, the circumstances were, I felt, and that he was very thankful for being. I mean, you know, I don't think it's because of, it can't just be because of the movie or the topic, or even it's the confluence of all the things coming together to create the performance that he gives. Yeah. And it just happened to be that this was about someone who survived Nazi Germany. So
the other one was more about, like, him being a Holocaust survivor. This one was more about, like, what happened after that.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't exactly the same role.
No.
By a long shot.
Yes, I totally get that. But it would be like, you know, Bob Denver doing a show where he's once again stranded on a desert island. But this time he's not called Gilligan. He's called Jilligan. something like that.
No,
no, not the same. Okay,
not the same.
The comment sections are busy today with
what did we say now to upset them?
A lot of Putin apologists are back here telling us things like Trump is pro peace, Democrats are pro war. We've got a reminder about impeachment because what Trump did in the Oval Office on Friday isn't that much different than what he did in his first term, which was commit extortion in the Oval Office
to the same guy.
To the same guy going, I want you to do me a little favor. Nice little country you got there. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. And I can control whether your country gets steamrolled or not by my buddy Vlad. And Zelensky, too, much to his credit, I mean, he just sat there and watched them make jackasses of themselves.
I mean, and so disrespectful.
Yeah.
So, so disrespectful to a sitting president. I mean,
and then Vance, so angry.
It was Vance, you know, with all due respect, Mr. President, you're being disrespectful.
Yeah.
With what he said. I'm like, who are you and why are you
Have you
there?
Said thank you once to this president? Have you said thank you once when he's actually said thank you time and time again? It's J.D. Vance and Donald Trump who have never said thank you to NATO.
Yeah.
For they were the only, this was the only time after 9/11 that NATO invoked Article 5 and all the nations of NATO committed troops. Was right after 9/11 to help the United States. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was very apparent, you know, very naked what was being attempted there in the Oval Office. And, you know, you could tell Zelensky, he kind of knew this was going to be not a great thing going in. Probably did not expect the full-on on-camera ambush that he got. Mm-hmm. But, again, this is a guy whose country is being bombed.
Yeah.
Out of existence. So he's used to these kinds of assaults and dealt with it, brushed it off his shoulder and headed back home. And all of Europe is behind him saying, well, the U.S. hasn't got your back, but we do.
I was just, I don't know why I was scrolling through Facebook, but I came across two of my cousins who are posting as reported by Tucker Carlson. And it's this really poisonous
reported.
Thank you. Yeah. This real poisonous rhetoric of how Zelensky is part of the same party that were the Nazis and he is the aggressor. And
oh, I'm my like, God. That's how, so 3 years old.
How can you do that? How can you just change your mind? We all watched it happen. We all watched in February of 2021 when Putin rolled into Ukraine and we were all horrified and we're like, we can't do this. And now all of a sudden Zelensky's the aggressor. He's the one who started this all.
For the same reason, those same folks who were horrified on the evening of January 6th and on January 7th, by about January 10th had changed their minds and had decided that somehow these were all plants, that were invading the Capitol. And it's that level of misinformation that, you know, you can knock people back on their heels with the truth, but eventually they're going to get back up and they're going to try to start spewing misinformation again. And so it's incumbent on all of us to just keep coming back time and time again. Kristen, you know this. You have heard every talking point in the book about reproductive health rights, and you think that you've held this argument for the 10,000th time, and yet somebody else new will come up and say something that you go, no. Here's what science actually says about these things. That sadly is just part of the human condition, is we always have to, you can never just assume, well, I've told the truth enough times. I think it should stick by now, right?
I think for me, I say it over and over and over and over again in public, but then when I am with a patient in the office and we're having the conversation, and it's clear that this one individual has not heard the things that I've been, clearly they've not been listening to me in public because, you know, not everybody hears the same stories. And so we have to have that conversation on an individual basis. And that makes it, that really brings it home for me how important these grassroots conversations are, how important it is to talk to your neighbors, to go to the theater, to just go to the grocery store and talk about something of substance with each other, the things that really matter to you, what's happening in our public schools, the cost of groceries, how we can support our neighbors in need. all of these things are the things that pull us together instead of this top-down, ugly media where they are feeding us talking points that frankly are not true in many cases. And these people are, it's propaganda. They create their own reality, but we can push back by having these conversations with each other.
Somewhat related to this, and if I'm not giving you enough time, we'll get into it more at the start of the next hour here. But there's a lot of Republican fixation on Governor Evers using a term called inseminated persons in place of mothers when talking about things like IVF.
This is funny. It Go really ahead. Actually, got, it is.
You got 60 seconds. Go for it.
So in the budget, they're replacing words like husband and wife with man and woman and inseminated person. And it's scientifically accurate. It is the right thing to do. Like, my kids aren't running around going, inseminated person, where's my other shoe? Nobody's trying to replace your mother with inseminated person. They're just bringing things up to speed. They're adding sperm banks because that's not part of the current law that in a lot of people do get their semen that they use when they are seeking artificial reproduction. So they're just bringing the law up to speed. This is politics. This is propaganda trying to get you all riled up about the culture wars. Don't buy into it. We're better than that.
Please buy into it. Please don't buy into it. We are better than that.
We are.
And that this is, we're talking about legal terminology that is more inclusive. Although yes. the notion of your boys still running around the house going, inseminated person, where's my shoe?
That would happen here, actually.
I was going to say, if they've heard this, you know they're now going to do it. Today's history lesson coming up right after this. You're up north.
24, 3 times 7 is 21, 3 times 6 is 18, 3 times 5 is 15, 3 times 4 is 12, and 3 times 3 is 9. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You had a heart as big as a whale. Honey, 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 honey.
Honey, honey, honey,
honey.
There's Cap Calloway again, this time doing Minnie the Moocher. This one is from the Blues Brothers in 1980, but he recorded it on this day in New York City in 1931. It would become the first jazz recording to sell a million copies. Cab Calloway passed away in 1994 at the age of 86. And I was referencing earlier Stormy Weather and the Johnson Brothers dancing to one of his other Cab Calloway songs. And it just reminded me, as a kid, when there were only three TV stations, you know, there was no cable, there was no internet or anything. And so if you were up late, like after Johnny Carson, it was nothing but these old movies, you know, whether it was, you know, Fred Astaire or Gene Kelly or Cab Calloway or whatever. And again, I feel like, I don't mean to sound all old here, but we don't have that communal experience of everybody watching the same old movies, you know. Mm-hmm. Now we're sitting here going, Anora, what's that?
No, we're not. You are.
Oh, yeah. It's just me. Just me. By the way, that same day, 1931, when Cab Calloway recorded this, the Star Spangled Banner was adopted by Congress as our national anthem. Mm. Happy birthday to Jennifer Warren, 76 years old today, born in Seattle, Washington. This was her big solo hit from 1976.
Well known for her duets.
Definitely
funny that you should say that.
A softer Linda Ronstadt sound, like
yes.
Yeah.
She had two Grammy Awards, one for her 1983 duet with Joe Cocker, "Up Where We Belong," and in 1987 with Bill Medley for "I've Had the Time of My Life," which we will play a little bit later on in the show. Jennifer Warren, 76 today. Happy birthday to Tone Loc. This one's going to make the youngers feel older. Tone Loc is 59 today.
Oh, this song reminds me so much of college.
Oh, yeah.
And here's one for the music nerds. The sample behind it, Van Halen's Jamie's Crying.
Uh-huh. I never put that together, but thank you.
Oh, yeah. Tone Loc born Anthony Smith in Los Angeles. On this day in 1972, did I give you a link for coconut?
You
or
didn't.
No? Okay. On this day in 1972, Nilsson's album, Nilsson Schmilsson, was certified gold, and I meant to get you coconut because it's all about calling the doctor and woke her up. You know, put the lime in the coconut.
Put the lime in the coconut.
I'm not the one who needs to be woken up, buddy.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
Shots fired at a guy that forgot to set an alarm this morning. Let's move right on to Metallica, releasing their third studio album this day in 1986, the title track from Master of Puppets.
Would you like to spend the rest of the show talking about this album? Because I can.
I was just about to say, and here's Greg Bach with some other fun fact about Master of Puppets.
Recorded in 1985 to 1986 in Sweet Silence Studios over in Europe by Fleming Rasmussen, this was the last album to feature Cliff Burton as their bass player, as he would die later that year in a bus accident in Lumvi, Sweden.
Lumvi.
I can go on.
That's okay. That was good. We got the dead bass player. We're ready to move on. Happy 28th birthday to singer Camila Cabello, who was born 28 years ago in where, Camila? Where?
Havana, oh, nana.
Ah, yes. Thank you. On this day in 2017, the Nintendo Switch was released.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that a thing for your boys?
It's a huge thing. Yes.
I've never heard you so deadpan about something. It's a huge thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My Switch.
How many times did you threaten to or take away the Switch from the boys for not doing their homework or cleaning their room or something?
No, I'm more of a like, no, I really haven't done that. They do the right thing when we have a conversation. Let me put it that way.
Back in my day, a Switch was a totally different thing.
I was going to say, I was going to take me to the Switch, and yeah, you're right there with me, buddy.
Back in my day, they didn't take it away. They made me pick one.
Yep. Let's see. We've got a new month, a new week, so we've got all kinds of things on the calendar today. Let's start with the day. Today is Talking Third Person's Day, Pat said.
That's weird.
Yeah, no. I know. This is National If Pets Had Thumbs Day.
Also weird.
That's
also
dumb.
Weird. I know, because we only have so much room for stuff on social media now with our pets doing crazy things.
Some cats have thumbs.
Today is National World Wildlife Day. This is Caregiver Appreciation Day.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes
it is.
Yes, it is.
Yep. We appreciate you caregivers.
We
more
really
of that.
Do. Yep. This is National 33 Flavors Day. Must be a Baskin-Robbins thing. It is Canadian Bacon Day. It is Irish Whiskey Day. I could put all those together with Baskin-Robbins, Canadian Bacon, Irish Whiskey.
No.
I'd also have to note that this is Mulled Wine Day, Moscow Mule Day, National Ear Care Day.
Just get wasted month.
Yep, I know. This is Women's History Month, as we mentioned earlier, and International Women's Week. And with it being a new month here, this is Brain Injury Awareness Month, MS Awareness Month, Reading Month, and Frozen Foods Month, which I suppose could be everything. Maybe, I don't know if it's just about vegetables or what, but we're counting pizza, right? Because I mean, if it weren't for frozen pizza, I wouldn't eat, you know, 2-3 days out of the week.
It is a food.
Aren't we like the state that consumes the most frozen pizza?
Probably.
I wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. And you know why? Because Wisconsin makes more pizza cheese than any place else, I believe, in the world. And you know, it's the best.
You know Jack from Jack's Pizza?
Yeah.
Used to work with my dad in Kakana. It's true.
Wow.
Okay. Well,
so much trivia today.
I have nothing for that.
So much of it trivial, which is what we do best here. Author Laura Bird helps us find or create the right book club in the second hour of Up North News Radio. Still ahead here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.